Blog Talk Radio.
Morning. Thank you for joining us again this week for another edition of On Point. I'm your host, A. Trey, with my co-host online with the roll call, everybody. Tell everybody hi this morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Lady
Patrice here.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Ty Trees. Good morning, listeners. How y'all doing?
Welcome.
Good morning.
On.
This is James Moore. Good morning and welcome to everyone.
Thank you. Thank you so much. This morning, first, let me just give a quick shout out. Thank you, Midas. I appreciate you. You guys set me up this morning. I appreciate that. Midas on Elliot and the I-10. Gentleman walked in there without my coupon, and he gave me my oil change and did everything right, and because I've been a customer there. And I wanted to give them a shout-out because they do good work. And they also push our show. So for the fellas listening, thank you very much. I appreciate your support. We appreciate your support. Thanks for taking care of me. This our 34th episode, the State of Our Union is second. It's titled, It's Hunting Season, and All Things Brown Are Being Shot. And this week we're going to touch on the subject of police brutality by lethal force, the targets upon which they're applied, and how such negative actions are reaching epidemic proportions. We also want to stop and ask the question, why? Why is this being allowed to happen? How is it being allowed to happen? Why is there a blind eye being turned, at least a serious one? And who's going to change it? And what is it we must do to change the attitude those committing these semi-crimes? I'll address that. So, let me put this out there. First, I want to say thank you, James. Your input for statistics are incredible, so thank you very much. And I've expounded on what I went from as well. Thank you. It's become bad. That's nicely put in. African American males, Latino males, are being killed legally on the streets in record proportions. And there's a lot of things that actually back it up. Bureau of Justice Statistics has a program called the ARD program. It's the arrest related death. And some of the things they say, mind-boggling. And I'm looking at some of the statistics. I went over some of them. Some of them I know. And how we're being cattle steered into like a. Hold it. I'll put it out there. I think we're being pushed to the verge of extinction. That's just me. That's my opinion. And I'll tell you why. And please, anybody, feel free to chime in. Let me just get this out of my system. They have this report. And these stats came in from the FBI. The FBI, and mind you, though, I have to let you know, Congress just passed a law requiring the police department. And there's over 17,000 different law enforcement agents or police agents. The Congress passed a law that departments have to start counting how many people they shoot. And 9 times out of 10, if they shoot them, and it's not, well, it's going to be fatal. So they have to report the death, pretty much. They showed a statistic that this year, people who have died at the hands of the police, this already know about Brown and Garner, 1,339 individuals this year. We're only in April. This is from the end of December. 1,339 individuals. Can you say epidemic? Anybody want to address this, Jay?
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting you brought that up, and I think part of it, Trey, is there's an overall perspective of the value placed on lives in specific communities. And I think there's nothing more poignant than what Wayne LaPierre recently said, is he made a statement regarding the fact that, you know, 8 years of a demographically symbolic president was enough. Now, to me, that was a very it should have been a dog whistle. It wasn't. It was very, very loudly spoken, and it was very succinct, very salient, very cogent. You can tell he put some thought into that. And I think that's
part of the problem.
He said
it so nicely.
Well, you know, I think the issue is that that perspective is being shared. And there are a lot of folks out there who are not educated, and I don't mean educated in the ways of, you know, upper-level education, higher education, but in common courtesy and common sense because of their backgrounds or their affiliation. So that type of language that's decidedly encoded, and this time it happened not to be, and a lot of people caught that, speaks to a certain group of folks. And that group of folks, they get out there and they act upon that. And I think that accompanying the lack of perceived value in the lives of certain groups makes it easy for these things to transpire. That and the fact that the folks who were supposed to be slated to take care of it, for instance, the Attorney General, Mr. Holder, leaving office, and, you know, we have new Attorney General, and I'm sorry, her name has slipped me right now, but she's supposed to be coming in, and they're blocking her appointment. That is preventing some of the stuff from being looked into. And I think there's an overall issue going on that has just decreased the perceived value of certain groups of folks. And I think that's at the root of it. Now, I don't mean to take up all the time in the spotlight here, but I also want to say that, you know, granted, we've got to get active. And it's good to see people get out there and march and all that stuff. I commend those folks. That's okay. But we need to do stuff like, for instance, get out there and vote and have our fiscal sanctions. And those areas where that stuff is happening, stop spending our money in those areas. Stop supporting those people. Stop supporting those governments. Get out there and vote those people out of office and do something about it. Because we can sit here and talk about it.
If I can, let me just tag on to that exactly with what you're saying. Listen, for you that's listening, your vote matters. Your vote counts. That's your idea. That's your livelihood. Listen, and here's something that you could think about. There's a guy named Sheriff Joe Arpaio. I'm going to just remove Sheriff and just call him Arp. He's a felon, but he holds the sheriff's office. Now, anybody else that's listening that's a felon, that should give you ample reason and incentive to go out and do your best. That means you can get a job in the state. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And he's crooked. That's just my opinion. Nonetheless, he's been in office and stayed there with some of the strongest competition. And the vote, this is my point, has come from Sun City. Those senior citizens come out in droves, and they keep him in office by voting. They tell everybody there. So all those people who decide, I'm not going to vote for him, so I just won't do anything. You're contributing to his assignment there. For every three of you, for every three of them that do vote, five of us don't, and that's how they stay in. Put that on a national scale. Those congressmen you don't like, the same thing applies. Those senators you don't like, the same thing applies. I'm an African-American male. I'm comfortable in my skin, blah, blah, blah. I'm not scared of anything that doesn't have the word God before it. And if you're not a God-fearing person, well, that's just you. Nonetheless, but officers disturb me. Here's a thought. It is easy to be a target, ladies and gentlemen, when it's easy to hit a man that doesn't hit back. It's easy to shoot a man that turns his back to you. It's easy to kill a man that's on his knees. It's easy to degradate a man who bows to you, puts his hands behind his head, drops to his knees, and then lays on his stomach before you. In case you missed all that, that's the procedure when you're out in front of an officer. So, and it's not the man you respect. It's the idea of authority, the badge. And some of them are just freaking abusing it. I know somebody else has something.
That's just like with the, let me see here, that's just like with the George Zimmerman case, you know, how he did everything opposite of what the dispatchers was telling him not to do, not to follow him, not to get out the car, don't approach him, did everything opposite they say don't do. He thought of himself as to be a real cop, and for him not to get any time on that, that's ridiculous. So that boy's mom got to live like that for the rest of her life, not seeing her son as well as the father. I mean, he really had an agenda. I mean, he really had a negative vibe against black people, period. Like he said, these a-holes get away with it every time. He had a purpose to kill that young man. He was going to the store to get, what, an Arizona tea and a bag of Skittles? He wasn't a threat to nobody. Because he was walking around the nice neighborhood that his father stayed in, you thought that he was doing something wrong? What kind of thing to do?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's ridiculous.
Down.
I mean.
Yeah, I think it's.
Oh, go ahead.
I believe it's a deeper issue, and you guys may or may not agree with me, but at the root of all of this is the racism, white supremacy. And, you know, you can ask any. Most officers, how it's going on, and you got mostly a lot of Caucasians that's in uniforms, and a lot of them scared of black men, and that's just the reality of it. And they'll tell you, and they have had people come out and tell you, yeah, we don't like, we scared of black men, you know, we go shoot them, and we're not going to deal with them the old traditional way. Right, but then that's the situation. We have to look at a more psychological approach with the people that's behind the uniforms, because if they're at the core themselves racist or just scared of black men in general and never have the sense to deal with them, then you can bet they're going to more likely shoot before they actually arrest.
Here's something. I want to put this out there. This is the ARD, or it's a national census. Just so you know, the ARD program is an annual national census of all the people who died either while being arrested or detained in the custody of law enforcement. They collect data on general civilians and their expiration caused by a use of force by state, federal, or local law enforcement, mostly state and local law enforcement, and anything that's directly related. And it also includes deaths attributed to suicide, intoxication, accidental injury, illness, or natural causes, you know. But if the cop had them, then it counts. All right. Now, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, here's something, and I'm going to read this to you because it tripped me out. I don't understand. I'm lost. And I would love for someone to explain it. It says, the Bureau of Justice Statistics, BJS, uses the term arrest-related to capture all circumstances associated with the actions or events that occurred during an attempt by law enforcement to detain an individual or individual. BJS defines a death as arrest-related when the event that caused the death, i.e. gunshot wound, cardiac arrest, drowning, asphyxiation, what have you, occurred during an interaction with the state or the local law enforcement personnel. Now here's where I would love for you to explain this. Except for innocent bystanders, hostages, any law enforcement personnel, all juvenile and adult deaths of criminal suspects, non-criminal individuals attributed to events that occurred while the defendant, decedent either attempted to elude the police during or as of the course of the apprehension or while in the custody of the law enforcement as they're reported to the ARD. Okay. I said, except for, tell me something. Doesn't that mean every damn body? It said, except
for. Yeah, you know.
That's
well, you know, the
body.
System has a, a funny way of using words and language so that you get confused and they just, you know, somehow seem to get it their way, and that's just how they do.
Everybody.
That's crazy.
If the innocent bystander, the hostages, the law enforcement personnel, all juvenile and adult deaths of criminal suspects, non-criminal and non-criminal individuals, and that was that were going to either be arrested or being apprehended, or that the police were reporting. None of those count.
That's called collateral damage. It's just part of the situation.
Hold on. That means if they're chasing after a guy and he gets shot because he was in the process of being apprehended, it doesn't have to get reported because that's one of the exceptions. Did I misunderstand that? Tell me. I'm open.
It's about padding the stats, Trey. That's what that's about. Because obviously, as Ty mentioned, you know, it's that perception and that the collateral damage, you know, it's probably way worse than what we think. Think about for every story we hear about on the news, if there's 1,300, okay, we've heard about three. So if you look at the percentage, for every one that's happening, there's nearly 500 that aren't reported.
I concur.
Right.
Go ahead.
I want to say, too, to add on with James saying, you know, they pick the most ridiculous stories to report so that they can garner the most craziest reaction because, you know, they know the reactions they're going to get. So that's why they get the most mundane
For the ratings, yes. It's about the ratings,
ridiculous.
Yes.
If you feel, and for those of you listening, and I'm sorry, there was a person that I missed. My apologies. Our number is 347-855-822. Feel free to chime in. Let us know how you feel about this issue. Say something. But your voice needs to be heard as well. Let me put this out there real quick before our little bell goes off. There was a stat, ARD, census, said that more than 4,800 arrest-related deaths were reported from 2003 to 2009, the six-year period. 4,800 deaths. That were reported. And now, in a six-year period at 4,800, that's 800 people a year. Arrest-related death. That's before you get to the big house.
Well, let me just say this, Trey.
Here's something else. I got to say this. Of that 1,339 that happened this year, 226 of them were arrest, as they say, arrest liable. That means that they were legitimate. What happened to the other 1,100 people? By cops. Let's not talk about boy who got ran over, excessive force, and they said it was acceptable. There was nothing else he set up. Lost. I'm sorry, Jay. What were you saying?
Well, I was just going to suggest that if 5,000 or 6,000 people had been killed in a specific country, we send in the army to go and investigate, or we send in, you know, military force, or there's something of that nature that's occurring. And I think that it's very interesting that we have several thousands of folks dying here within a very short period of time, and we don't get more investigation. Earlier I mentioned the new attorney general that they're trying to actually get voted in. Her name is Loretta Lynch. And I think that as long as she's being held in suspension like that, it's going to be a minute before things get realigned. And even once she gets in, there's still that wave of time before she gets up to speed on everything and can go and investigate. So realistically, this very short thing that they're doing is going to have a long-lasting effect on the overall perspective of law enforcement across the country.
I agree. If you for those of you listening, feel free to chime in with us. And I'm going to close this segment. Respect authority. We've always been taught that since we were little. Like mom, it's like dad, it's like nana, you know, your aunt, uncle, you, yeah, what have you. Respect them. When you see the policeman, say hi to him. He is your friend. Officer, the one that's listening, did you not forget that you took an oath to be our friend, to protect us? I believe it's on some of your police cards. Peace officer. This is my last name, so I believe in it wholeheartedly. Maybe you should take another look at what it is you do and who you're actually doing it for. I'm just... Okay, moving on to our second segment. There you go. Behind closed doors, our second segment. It's not what you said. It's how you said it. We're going to examine one of the most lethal killers of relationships. A failed art.
Trey,
there's women.
I'd like to chime in right off the bat. I'm sorry.
Feel free. Do that.
Well, you know, I have two quick things I want to share. There used to be something I put on the board when I taught my students about communication. And there's something called context-content process. The context drives the content. The content drives the process. Now, what's interesting about that is you said it's not what you said, it's how you said it. I would put this sentence on the board, and it was a simple sentence, and it said, I did not say you were crazy. And then I had students read that, putting emphasis on various different words. And if I say that sentence saying, I did not say you were crazy versus I did not say you were crazy or I did not say you were crazy, that's all the same sentence, but I just said three or four different things. And let me tie that in with this. I had someone, they told me once, they said, hey, look, I made soup. I put some in a container for you. Why don't you come by and get it? And I responded with, you don't want me to stay. They said, well, where did you get that from? I said, because you said you put it in a container. See, me, I would have said I would have put it in a bowl. Now, that led to a very interesting conversation based on context, content, and process, because that context told me that I was not supposed to stay. No, that's not what it was meant to sound like. It's what I heard, and that's what you're saying. It's not what you said. It's how you said it, and I think so often people get the context wrong and they don't ask for clarity. They operate off of context rather than saying, can you clarify the context?
Right, right.
Right, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Here, Lady Therese, what do you think about this?
I mean, it by me studying communication and having a degree in it, I look at communication totally different. You know, 90% of communication is done non-verbally, and most of it is, you know, persuasive speaking. But it's how you say things, you know. Like a person can say things one or two different ways, and a person take it a different way. It's like the same thing when you text somebody, and when that person receives that text, they take it all out of proportion. That's why, you know, certain times we just
say text. That.
It's better
that.
Than
so
communicate than the text.
And I'm sorry, I hate that. Because
I agree.
I don't care. You cannot determine emotion through a text.
Yeah, it's better to
people
call
do it all
in
the
my
time.
Agree. I agree.
People do it all
and,
the
and,
time.
And what Therese was mentioning earlier and how you say something, that term that we're looking for is paralinguistic. And it's all in where you put that inflection, where you put that emphasis on that word.
Oh.
And yes, and that is lost in texting. Now they have something called the Sark Mark, you know, to, you know, put at the end of the sentence to let someone know you're being sarcastic. I really don't think that was the best invention. You know, I remember talking with my cousin. Yeah, when we were talking via text, we were sending texts back and forth, and I was trying to show her where my house was, and she kept texting. I'd missed the text, and, you know, hey, turn here, turn there. And finally, I just picked up the phone and called her. I said, look, we're having a communication issue. I said, if only there was a way to use this phone more effectively. And she busted up laughing because of the fact that we had been texting on a phone where we could have been talking.
Yeah, because they can be easily miscommunicated.
Here's something else, too. You have people, men and women. Uh-huh. We just see things totally different. No. We see the same thing. We express how we see it differently.
Agreed.
And here's the sentence. Lady Tree, I don't care. Whatever else it is you do, you're going to still be my friend. Now, most females, in my opinion, here, I don't care who else is in your life.
Right.
I'm your dog. And she says, you don't tell me what to do. Wait a minute, what? I didn't say I told you what to do. I just said I didn't care. I don't care about anything else before. I'm still here. So why don't you care? It gets lost in translation. Go to a movie and see the movie. And all you have to do is, if it's a heartfelt movie, all you have to do is say, you know what, I don't think I like the way she expressed herself. She was trying to be emotional. Well, yeah, but I don't have to like it. In relationships,
right.
I find that the difference between men and women when they communicate is this one little simple thing. They forget to agree to having a degree of individuality among themselves when they communicate.
Wow,
well, that's true. But I want to just put my stamp on it and just leave it at that. I have a public service announcement to make, and it's for all my friends, associates, family members. I mean, you know how I am personally. But if you love me and you care for me, that too, you know, straight up. But you know, don't come to the table with speculation. If you love me and you care for me, if it comes off wrong and that's your opinion, then I'm here. Come clarify. Ask me, well, what did you mean? Are you upset? Or hey, don't get pissed off. Hey, we can have that dialogue and clear that up. But a lot of people just speculate and leave it at that. And then now emotions is running high, and it's usually too late to turn that tide. But that's my opinion and my personal approach on that. Don't come with speculation. If you failed, I said things out of context, then let's get it back in context. Because, you know, I'm going to tell you.
And tagging on to that, I'm a firm believer, we're about to wrap this up. I'm a firm believer that whatever you say, let me get this off. Whatever you say when you're angry, you want to avoid a relationship, you want to avoid problems in communicating with your relationship. Whatever you say when you're angry is exactly what you mean. You've just said it in a harsher tone. Just think
about
that.
Can I add something to that?
Yes.
Ambrose Bierce said, speak when you're angry and you'll make the best speech you'll ever regret.
I agree. Ladies and gentlemen out there listening to us, we appreciate you. Sorry for the people that dropped. Thank you for listening. My foes, you guys are the best. Remember, every thought is great. Every idea is warranted. And with every step you take, and for every endeavor you make, may they always be
on point.
On point. Peace.